It's just a friend of mine, he come to visit,
Did he was just visiting?
He just visited.
It sounds like the inspector said he was working on a client, and he left the client, and the client was sitting there without a tech, so he wasn't visiting, he was performing service, is that correct?
No, that was, Chee Nguyen, the one that had the license expire, he working on a customer yet, but the one that left, he don't work there.
Lisa, can you clarify what you saw?
Okay, so a couple of things, Chee Nguyen, I asked, you know, if, I asked the actual person that was there what his name was, and he did not identify himself, he did not, like, say, this is my license. The other thing is that he was performing a service, and then as soon as the gentleman left, and left in his car, and he started doing the service on that client.
And then what about the other licensee who is only licensed in the state of Nevada and not in the state of Arizona, and have that displayed?
Well, that's Bevan, she no longer working with us, and I keep telling her to call Rosa, make sure that you get the renew, transfer, the license to Arizona, but, I think Lisa took a picture of it, and, I keep telling her, and I even call, Ms. Irma, down here to make sure, you know, like, guide us, you know, so that way that we don't get in trouble after all, and so she didn't even do it, so I recently let her go a couple of weeks ago.
How long have you been in business?
I've been 23 years.
23 years?
Been doing now, but, yeah.
My other, concern, I guess, is that you're also, there are several unlicensed, the licenses have not been renewed for the establishment, what is the reason for that?
Well, like I say, pandemic has been really hard on us, hardship, we end up owing like $150,000 right now. I'm thinking that we're gonna end up closing it, pretty sure.
Have you renewed those licenses now?
Just now, yes, I called yesterday, just right before the court, here, but, it's been really hard, now we even move out to our RV, right now we stay in our RV. Just everything just falling on, our family member passed away, we couldn't even go to Vietnam for their funeral.
Can you verify those licenses?
And our stuff that, going on, so, yeah, you know, it's just.
It's a tough time.
You know, I mean, I've been trying.
Yeah, back to the sanitation part, though, there were several mentions by the investigator that there were reuse of items, was that the case?
Not that I know of, because normally, my employees always have like 10 extra tools, just in case, you know, they're done with the customer, and then just put it away and clean up later, and use the new one.
I think he's talking about pumice stones. There was a report of reused pumice stones.
And she said there was other items that were reused as well, correct?
Yeah, that, yeah, the stone is used for the massage.
Yeah, and they're
but,
50
yeah,
cents a piece,
I
so they're not reusable.
Inside of the actual pedicure mask and scrub, unenclosed implements, a lot of them. Pumice stone, it was just pretty much the pumice stones and then many containers of the scrub and pedicure masks that they were using.
Right.
They would get their hand in there and just put out what they needed, but it would be during their pedicure because it was on the cart itself.
Yeah.
So they were.
We need you to get into compliance with keeping it clean. I'm trying to figure out how we can convince you that this is important. You've been at it for a long time, 20 some years. You may have developed some bad habits.
Mr. Chairman, I'd also like to mention, you know, hard times and COVID and staffing challenges are not an excuse to risk infectious disease for the public. So while I understand and respect that, I think it should be made very clear that this isn't, these rules aren't, and we've gone through all of these rules several times, and we're going to continue to do so. They're not, quote, what the board likes. They are intended to reduce the risk of spreading infectious disease, like COVID, you know, any infectious disease, not specifically COVID, but as an example of one that has spread. When infectious disease spreads, puts people at risk. And so we do not want that to happen. And the violations here, you know, hearing that the response is times are hard and, you know, shutdowns are hard, it communicates to us that you're not seriously considering the potential impact to the public of what these risks are, or, you know, of these risks, frankly.
No, I didn't want the board to think that you know, you guys feel bad for me for whatever reason. I admit, you know, well, you know, it's evidence that we just took a picture. There's no arguing. I'm not trying to argue, but I just want to express my feeling, like, how the process and everything went. Your own business.
Right. In order for us to determine how to go forward.
I mean, that's all. I don't want you to feel bad for me.
In order for us to figure to go forward, we need to feel confident you're going to clean up.
Yes, sir, I will.
And you're going to operate with licenses and you're going to do the things you need to do.
Yes,
how can we believe that that's going to be the case?
No, because I have to think I'm going to go out there and try to talk to some of the ladies down there to renew my license, which is going to cost me like $500 something. But yeah, I would definitely do that, yes.
Where are we now?
Okay, so both of the nail salons are still in an inactive status. Trying the new one is still in delinquent status, and Fongvo is still in an inactive status. Andy Newman is
one. Okay.
So the only current license is
yes.
Mr. Newman. Thank you.
And the establishment is that?
Yeah. So he has to do a reactivation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And just thank you, Ms. Colbert. I was just going to reference that too. With this point, because of the status that they're in, it's not something that can be taken care of today. There is a process to that he will need to contact our staff about at a later date to start, and it won't. It's not an overnight process.
Got it.
What would you say the timing for something like that is?
It is a 4 to 5 week process,
4 to 5 weeks.
And that's for getting in the application, making sure that Secretary of State and everything is still active and good on that measure, make sure we get the payment in, get that process with a 4 to 5 week process time.
Okay, so 60 days would be adequate if everybody gets onto it?
Yeah.
And sir, did you hire these folks who are unlicensed or licensed in different states, knowing that they were not licensed?
No, they have license, but it just come from other states. And she even told me that she renewed with Arizona State Board, but somehow they keep transferring her back and forth. And so there's no, you know, that's the excuse that she gave me. But
you, as a manager, it's your responsibility to check these things before you bring them on payroll.
Yeah, not knowing.
You understand that you need to accept responsibility for that at the very least going forward, and make sure that you're verifying those things and taking procedural steps to keep your facilities clean regardless of the situation.
I think there needs to be some sort of ongoing monitoring of the salon, because I think there is a risk to the public. And I think there needs to be a follow-up inspection after enough time has passed, where he would have had to have cleaned again since the one cleanup that we are aware of. Mm-hmm.
Okay, do we have any other questions from the board? All right, do we have a motion?
Mr. Chair, members of the board, I do want to just ensure that you are aware that the rules and statutes state that the establishment cannot operate and individuals cannot work within that establishment while they do not have a license.
Right. Okay. That's actually a really good point. I'm sorry. I guess I we assumed it is obvious, but it's not. So while your establishment is unlicensed, it cannot be in operation. And unlicensed, and it, once it is licensed, unlicensed staff cannot legally work there. So you need an establishment license to continue operation. It needs to be approved. It can't just be applied for. So right now,
no.
Is your salon operating?
Right.
Yes or no? Yes or no? Is it operating right now today?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So that's not something that's allowed.
No. For whatever reason, like I told you, that the pandemic, everything, we even have a COVID. So we go to hard time, like I say, it's more, we forget even our license is active or not active.
I understand
so
that,
I
but.
So when I check and I talk to, I call Rosa and she said, Andy, look, you have to renew your license for the salon.
I understand and respect that. I understand it. Right now you have an unlicensed establishment and the public is not responsible for bearing risk of infectious disease while we wait for an establishment license. Right? So it is not legal to operate right now.
Yeah, because we didn't receive any letter say that, you know, we had to renew. And I for sure that remember my personal license every August 22nd. My brother, I renew my license. Yes.
Okay, that's your responsibility.
The salon is, I believe it was every 1 or 2 years. It depends on how I apply for it.
Right.
But yeah, I just forgot
right.
how, you know.
To help you, the problem we have is that your business is not currently licensed. And not being licensed, state law says we can't allow you to operate.
Mm-hmm.
So we're caught in a spot where we don't have a way to give you a free pass. So at this stage, a key thing for you to get an understanding of is you need to file your paperwork for these salon licenses as fast as you can, no matter what it is, because we can't let you operate until you get it. The fact you didn't do it when you should have is what caused this, but we're here.
Yes, sir.
Frank, for the record, does it not say on the license when it expires? So it says on the license when it expires. So you were informed when it would expire.
Yeah, I know. That's what I explained to the board, that it's been so much happening into our life. It just fit in a second. We don't, to be honest, sometimes we don't even.
Yeah.
So if you know, that would maybe be somewhat mitigating. If it weren't for an unlicensed male who fled the establishment while working on a client, someone only licensed in the state of Nevada, admittance that you've not actually verified the licensee's status of the staff that you're hiring, you know, denying responsibility for the sanitation violations, you know, there's a whole cumulative impact of all of these violations at once.
Yeah.
And COVID, as you know, the COVID pandemic and is not an excuse.
No, I'm not denying any.
I don't think you are, but you are telling us that COVID's the reason, but
that,
unfortunately state law still applies.
I'm not denying anything. I'm just explaining what's happening.
I appreciate the information. I understand you're not denying it, but by law, you're not permitted to operate, and you are right now.
Okay, so we need to review this case in 60 days to see if these things have come into compliance so we can move forward. Until then, you can't operate. You can't be open because you're not licensed. You personally are licensed, but nobody else is and no, your business isn't. Does that make sense to you?
So that means I have to go home and do it?
I'm just saying, yeah, I understand
I
you have a personal life.
To survive because I have to.
I understand.
I'm sorry, but
I understand.
It's awful to have to put someone out of work, but there is a public, there is a safety risk to the public.
All right, so let's see if we can box this thing up. We've got to find that they come into compliance. We've got to find that they're operating in a clean, sanitary manner. Unfortunately, he's caught in this 60-day window because of inactions. So can we define this in a motion?
First up, just to adopt.
Yeah. I would move that we adopt the findings of fact in the investigative report to include all findings of fact in the investigative report and the conclusions of law, all conclusions of law in the investigative report.
Chair Sterrington, second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, so we agree this happened. Now, do we have an order of discipline in this matter, considering the variety of different issues here?
Mr. Beckman, members of the board, you may want to ask if there's any prior discipline in this case.
There is, right?
So can we ask that question of...
Now we can, right. The board will inquire, yes. The board would like to inquire if the licensee has any disciplinary history.
It has. Case number 95860-95861 on 7/17/2020. 6 months probation and member Andy Nakwin to attend IFP law class. Health and safety did not follow blood spill procedure.
Okay, did he take that class? Can you tell? Did he take the class?
I don't have that.
And when was that? The class was ordered?
July 17th, 2020.
2020. Did you take that class?
Yes, sir.
All right.
So the class was taken, but then right. We have this.
Right behind it.
That is a different issue than what was... I mean, they're related, but yeah. I don't see that specific complaint in the new one.
Well, the infection protection class should have prevented those... these violations.
I have the paper that Ms. Rosa emailed to me so that way I can fill out all my licensing for the business. I filled it out, but I didn't get the, you know, they asked me for the file for the state.
Secretary of State.
Yeah, Secretary of the State, and I don't have that file. It's really moving, and I don't have it. That's the reason why I didn't fill it out. So those are trying to help me, and
George is
coming
out
here and ask if I can help.
Thank you. All right. So we have several issues. We need them to come into compliance licensing wise. It's about 45 days to do that. So we need a 60-day window. Once you get through that, then we have the cleaning problems and the other license issues to deal with. So how do we make a motion about that?
Well, it looks like the consent agreement that is was that prompted the licensee to come today was a $1,000 civil penalty plus board costs and a 12-month probation with early termination. I do think that the civil penalty should stand, and there needs to be, you know, as we discussed, some follow-up as well. And just, I'm not sure how to get the licensee's attention as managerial responsibility
for this, so. Yeah, I don't know how we, if they're not permitted to operate, what's right. the yeah. probation end like?
Right.
Like we can set probationary and say you can't operate until right. you're licensed. Mm-hmm. So 60-day probation. To allow to get the establishment license, and we do periodic reviews to make sure that that is the case, and then after it's licensed, that the safety protocols are and other licensing protocol are in place. There's a lot here to make sure it happens.
Yeah.
Can we invite the licensee to come back after they are licensed, the establishment is licensed again? Mm-hmm.
And then we,
I don't know what we would say, I guess, if there hasn't been a follow-up inspection.
The big problem we have is that the license is being expired for so long, not being applied for even at this stage, you know, enough to go forward, recognizing we're 45 days out from issue in the best circumstances. And
is that actually the best circumstance? Like, there's no other rush procedure or anything like that.
So, Mr. Chair, Member Turrentine, I think part of the problem is we end up relying on the Secretary of State's office in some of this.
Mm.
So, I mean, I could say one thing, but I can't guarantee it's contingent on the respondent filing paperwork. It's contingent upon Secretary of State's office approving the trademark. It's so, I mean, we're at a place where we're processing things as quickly as possible, and we're not behind on anything anymore. But there's a couple of dominoes that have to fall before it even gets to us. And that's my concern with saying anything sooner than 45 days. Ms. Coleman is willing to take respondent out into the hallway after these proceedings to walk him through that process so that we can get it started. But the 45 day mark is probably our best situation, best at this point.
So you already have your trademark from Secretary of State because you were operating before.
Yes, sir.
You just don't have the paperwork?
Mm, we don't know where to pull the paperwork.
Can we not just look that up?
Mr. Chair, members of the board, we do look that up, but it expires after 5 years from the Secretary of State's office.
5 years.
And so we have to, so there's, I'm assuming at this point, since the license, the respondent's licenses, establishment licenses are expired and have been expired, it sounds like, for about 2 years, that we're probably in that situation where they're expired, so he's going to have to apply for a trademark with Secretary of State's office. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the problem was the nail salon between us and our partnership was we won the court and it did not final about like a year ago. So she did not transfer the partnership or the title to our own name and with our landlord.
So you have to start over.
Yeah,
we have to start it all over in our own name with the Secretary of State.
Right.
Mona, can you assist us with like what options we have in this sort of situation? We're in a catch 22, it feels like.
I'm coming up with something. Thank you. I think what you could do is obviously you have all your disciplinary options. You have an individual with it appears to be flagrant licensure violations, failure to obtain their license, continuing to conduct business, along with health and safety violations. So you can offer a consent agreement for 24 months probation with early termination. I mean, the term would be up to the board. Initially, the license is indefinitely suspended until the license establishment obtains a nail technologies license with the board. Licensee shall not provide nail technology services or advertise until a license is obtained by the board. And then once the license is obtained, the licensee shall notify the board, and then he would be subject to monthly inspections. During that 24-month period, he would be required to pay the civil penalty before the 24-month period would be terminated. You could have it, you could have monthly inspections, routine, unannounced inspections.
Do we have staff for monthly? Okay.
Right.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Baskin, maybe another thing that could potentially, and please correct me if I'm wrong, maybe an inspection of the establishment prior to opening. So get your license, we inspect, then, you know, if it's ready to go, we can hand them their license and then the monthly inspections thereafter.
Now,
we don't have a path anywhere in this where he can continue to work at this point.
No, he does not have a license.
Yeah.
He has not had a license for, how long has it been? Over 12 months?
It's closer to two years.
It's close to 2 years.
But he has an active personal license, so could work at another salon?
He could, right. He has employment opportunities if he has an active personal license. That is correct.
Okay. I thought that the suggestion of a what did you say suspension, indefinite suspension until
right.
the establishment is brought back. Well, but doesn't like the suspension not allow him to bring it back into?
No. He should not. Right now, he does not have a license.
Right.
Yes. But the board would be offered this, and this would be pursuant to a consent agreement because in the board's informal proceedings, you don't have the authority to unilaterally impose either a civil penalty or an indefinite suspension. Other boards do have that, but just the way the board statutes are, you do not have that. But his, you would be offering him a consent agreement that he would be agreeing that, that his establishment license is indefinitely suspended and that he, shall not provide nail technology service for advertisers or advertise until he obtains, an establishment license pursuant from the board.
What enforcement mechanism do we have to make sure he's not operating during this time period?
That's a very good question, Mr. Ledoux. And what you can include in the consent agreement would be, the board inspectors could still go out and inspect. And in the event that he is providing services, you can include a term in here that would be a stayed revocation. And what you would have in there would be if he is found, continuing to practice after being here before the board and he enters into the agreement, and he signs it, then the board could lift the revocation, could lift that stayed revocation and his license would be revoked. Now, if he does not choose to enter into this consent agreement, then the vote would be also part of your vote today will be to move it to formal hearing. And then at that time, move it to formal hearing. And you know, and on behalf of the state would be making a recommendation to the board at that time as far as what's the appropriate penalty. But as far as continuing to practice in an unlicensed establishment is, you know, obviously not.
I'm just concerned because, like, he's been already operating for 2 years almost without any license. And that's nothing has stopped him, so that's why I wanted to make sure that we have some sort of enforcement mechanism.
All right, everyone, we're going to meet.
So I would make a motion. I will make a motion that for a consent agreement that maintains the civil penalty of $1,000 that was initially offered to the licensee based on the violations, plus articulated again,
okay, it would be to offer a consent agreement for a 24-month probation.
With
early termination at the discretion of the board in the event that the licensee is in compliance with all the terms.
And in the meantime, is not advertising services or operating a salon in an unlicensed establishment.
Correct, and that would be the suspension.
Until you get it done.
But you'll get it.
Yeah, no, we're just keeping an eye on you for 2 years, but you need to hurry and get your license done.
Yes, sir.
So initially, the license would be subject to an indefinite suspension until licensee establishment is licensed with the board.
I think that's right.
And upon provide nail technology services or advertise the salon.
Yeah, the salon. But he's free to work on his own.
Correct. Right, but you are, yes, and I think that's clear that because you have an active personal license, you're free to work at other salons, but not in an unlicensed establishment that we're discussing here.
So I can the board provide me a license to work at home with my friends?
That's a home establishment license.
Yeah.
So you would need to apply for a home establishment license. But that, I don't know what the processing time on that is. I'm sure because it doesn't require a trademark, then you don't have to go through Secretary of State. I don't know the process.
I'm not sure on the home piece of that.
Okay. I thought there was a home. Is there not?
It was considered an individual.
Oh.
So they would just have to be, the name would have to be trademarked. Now, if they want to go under LLC to be covered, they could do that as well. We could take both. It's dependent on how they want to do it.
Yeah.
But individuals, and it's usually their personal social, so they just have to do it with the training, not the
okay.
LLC.
Got it. So they'll, you can work with staff on a potential license to operate elsewhere if you would like another establishment. But my motion in the meantime is, I think I'm going to try to piece it together one more time since I've like fumbled it a little bit here. But is to offer you a consent agreement, or offer the licensee a consent agreement in the amount of $1,000, which was the initial assent agreement civil penalty and board costs. And is there a, do we have to stipulate how long they have to pay? I am assuming it's within the 24-month period. So it's paid within a 24-month probation period where the licensee can, where the licensee will be inspected monthly once a active establishment license has been achieved. And in the meantime, while working on getting an establishment license, that establishment cannot advertise or operate as a nail salon. There's no establishment license. So that's my motion. I think I said it correctly. It was hard and complicated. My apologies for the confusion.
As a nail salon or as anything that offers nail technology services?
Anything right? that offers nail technology services.
And then is it every month or up to every month, once per month? This is the lawyer thing.
I thought it was every month at our discretion.
Okay. Correct. At our discretion.
A minimum of 1 month inspection, random inspection.
Okay.
So right. So that they're random and the minimum is 1 month, but it could be more. So good question. Thank you.
Two points over a second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. This is very complicated. This is very complicated.
Let his record reflect that Marshall Knox has returned.
Yeah, Mr. Knox returned at 11:02 a.m.
Okay. So anyway, so unfortunately, we can't let you operate until you get your license. So hurry and get that done. Set up a home license if you want to. Different issue. Unfortunately, we need to find you because there are many infractions here. We're trying to save you, trying to save your business, because it would be just as easy for us just to take it away. So this is difficult, but you can do it. Okay, do you have any questions?
No, sir.
All right.
You can work with staff on how to apply for other licenses or how to work through the establishment license and all of that.
Good. Good. We want to help you. All right. You'll get this all in the mail as a letter, but this is active now.
And Mr. Chairman, members of the board, and if not, fine, move to formal hearing.
Yes. Yeah, and actually, you'll need to agree to the consent. We're going to send it to you as a consent agreement. You need to look it over, sign it, send it back.
Do we have to move for that?
You agree.
Is this the second motion or amending the first motion?
You could either way. You could amend it. Amending the first motion, that is not fine.
Well, amending, then amend your motion.
And I'd like to amend the motion, retract the motion I made. Oh, I'd like to amend it, not retract it, please. And ensure that... if the consent agreement is not agreed to, then this would move to a formal hearing.
I agree. Second that motion.
Motion second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. We just said that if you don't do it, then we'll put you in a formal hearing, which is a bad thing. We'll do that. Okay? You okay? All right. Thanks for coming in today. Yeah. Clean it all up. We want to see you do well.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, members of the board, we've been going for almost an hour and a half. I might recommend just a quick 5-minute recess.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you. Yeah. All right, we'll recess in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Actually, 10 minutes. But stuff when you,
yeah, I know.
You're putting a guy out of business. There's no door.
I am in the.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think I've shown it. I'm very reticent to like hit people with penalties and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, I don't agree to.
Like even if I. Hard. Anyway, dude, come on. You get it, though. Like the. Like the. I also don't like, it just annoys me generally when people use COVID as an excuse for things that are presently happening.
I mean, I think to an extent it could be valid.
Sure.
But
you need it.
Well, I mean, even now there are people can't send people to work. But it's not a sanitary issue for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's one thing to be said about.
He needs a manager to make sure that all the.
Yeah. That's the job. The job is make sure everyone licenses and the job is make sure the place is.
Yeah.
That one was almost a toughie.
Yeah, I hope he comes into compliance.
Almost as tough as the couple that argued in front of us, who apparently are the ones who are going to formal hearing next time. Remember, the wife kept throwing her husband, those are the ones from the beginning.
I missed that one.
Oh, it was a good one.
Yeah. Put a similar circumstance to this guy, yeah, in a case, I think it was a year ago or so. Manager came out with $5,000 and offered it to the.
Well, thanks for that.
Oh, wow.
So we had to deal with that.
I had to run away.
Government official.
How are you doing?
Do we even have the authority? I would imagine that's a different law enforcement entity.
Yeah, we have to refer.
Okay.
No, we don't.
Cause I started working out 2 months ago.
Although $5,000, what the?
Like, I'm actually, like, I'm working out.
If he had $5,000, he could survive. Like, he could have fixed everything and.
Burning in your body.
Like, I can't imagine what we could have done that would have been worse than them paying $5,000. It's a terrible cost benefit.
Logic.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I was like, oh gosh, but also why?
Ukraine's obviously been in the news a lot, but like, there's been a lot about how those ex-Soviet, ex-Soviet bloc countries, like that is kind of the standard operating procedure a lot of the time too. And like, it seems really foreign to me, but, they just.
Okay. I don't hear anything now.
For those who are, that are on the phone or on virtually, we are currently in recess.
Okay.
I think it's Nietzsche.
Those on, please, your phones. Hello?
Hello? Yeah, thank you.
Those on the phone or attending virtually, please mute your phone or microphone.
Hello, can you talk with me?
For those on the phone, or attending virtually, please mute your phones.
I got it. You got back? Okay. Yeah. You check in the BCB with you, okay?
Oh, no.
There you go back.
All right, we're going to come back in session.
No.
Okay, we're back in session.
All right, let's go. Cold water and super dust.
We'll go to the next
governor's
case.
Office for a little bit.
Our next case is Boardroom Salon for Men. It's our case number 97257, Boardroom Salon for Men, SCOS 29893, TBS, N. Tempe Collective LLC owner, Bruce Schultz manager, Larissa Ballard, regional director.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, we do also have an LLC representation attestation on file for this case.
Okay. So would Bruce Schultz or Marissa Vallez, is that you?
No.
Okay. Okay, we're calling Bruce Schultz or Marissa Vallez. Are they available? Star 6 to unmute. Again, calling Boardroom Salon for Men. Star 6 to unmute if you're on the line.
For those individuals who are on by phone, if you can please mute your phone until your case is called.
Okay. Hearing no response to the call, I move the case number 97257 be moved to a formal hearing, or in the alternative, we accept the signed consent agreement previously offered by the board as resolution for the phase.
Second.
Is there any discussion? All right, hearing no discussion, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, so case number 97257, moves forward.
Is our board member still on?
Marshall, are you still on?
All right. Let's see. All right. Our next case is, John Hamilton. Our case number 97298, John Hamilton, license number 19700744.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, good.
I'm here. Okay.
So, thank you for joining us, Mr. Hamilton. We're getting organized. All right. Mr. Hamilton, do you swear the testimony you're going to give today will be truthful?
Yes, sir.
State your name, please.
John R. Hamilton.
Thank you. We're going to have our investigator review the case with us, and then I'll come back to you and ask you for questions.
No problem.
Thank you. Ms. Chavez.
Good morning, Mr. Beckley and members of the board. I'm actually going to be testifying for Kathy Bergeron. Kathy went out on September 30th, 2021, and conducted an inspection of Salon Bossa Nova. They did not have the proper licensing, and the issues with the licensing was display of inactive personal license number 10225049, Rick Sewell, expired November 16th of 2019, but correct. Display inactive personal license 19700744, John Hamilton, expired February 9th, 2018, but current. Inactive establishment license number SCOS 21049, expired June 29th, 2014. So he would need to reactivate that license. This license is to be renewed every year. Pretty much that's what we have right now. He is advertising Salon Bossa Nova, and he also did take pictures. And then we have something stating owner closed salon on 9/12/22.
Okay, there are no sanitation issues involved in this.
No.
Okay. Mr. Hamilton, can you explain this to us? This seems odd.
Well, it's pretty easy to explain, guys. I shut down that LLC probably 4 years ago. I opened up 6.5 years ago. I opened up an electrical contracting company. My wife and I actually own the building, and I don't cut hair anymore. I have my little station up there. I cut my wife's hair every once in a while. Have 4 children. I'll go in and cut their hair, but my wife works out of that salon as well. So I have a small little corner there where I have a chair that I cut my family members, and that's it. Never in there. I'm not in there ever. So anytime you guys show up, I'm never there. I have a 22,000 square foot building here in Tempe, Arizona, where I run an electrical contracting company. So with that being said, I didn't realize that when I shut down my LLC that I needed to contact you guys and shut down the actual establishment, Salon Bossa Nova license. So when I spoke with Rosa, she said, please email me that the license is no longer active. So I did that. She received that email, confirmed that she received that. And then secondly, it was my mistake, because I'm never in there anymore, that I didn't renew my actual personal license, which that's already been rectified and taken care of.
Okay. Does that fit with what you know?
I have no information on that.
All right.
I am so sorry.
Did you deal with it?
Yes, I did receive the email. I did speak with Mr. Hamilton, and he did state that he was not operating at the time of the inspection. He was in the salon.
He did have his license posted, but he wasn't operating the business at all.
Okay.
So I told him to, I gave him instructions on how to submit to be able to close the salon in November.
Just as a point of interest, on the record here, it says that the license expired in 19 but was current. What does that mean?
The one that was posted was an old one. The printout was old, but it was up to date.
Is it old and up to date both?
Yeah, so Mr. Chair, members of the board, what that means is that the license that was displayed,
right,
showed as expired. However, right, when the inspector confirmed,
oh, then the confirmed,
it was actually active. They just didn't, they were not displayed an active license.
All right. Okay, so does the board have any questions?
Just as a point, is BOSA still up? Is there an establishment license right now for BOSA?
No, all the stickers have been removed from the window. Salon Bossa Nova monument stickers have been removed from the window, and Salon Bossa Nova, the LLC, has been shut down, and the actual establishment license for Salon Bossa Nova has been shut down, according to Rosa.
Okay.
Right, so I move that we dismiss this case because this is not an operational salon and hasn't been.
There you go. Second?
Second. Knox.
Yeah. Well, he gets credit for it.
All right, we have a motion and a second. So all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? All right. So we're closing and dismissing this case. Thank you, Mr. Hamilton. We
no
appreciate
problem.
You for following up on this. Good luck in your business.
Thank you. Bye bye.
All right, so our next case is case number 97383 and 97384, Wilmot Nails, license 19593 and SAES 21827. Nguyen Trang Thai Cao, license 11100720 and Tan Tien Nguyen, 51600212. Are you present? Wilmot Nails, is anyone here from Wilmot Nails?
Star six.
If you're online, yeah. Star six. All right, hearing no response. I move the case number 97383 and 97384. Move to a formal hearing, or in the alternative, we would accept the signed consent agreement previously offered by the board as resolution for the case.
Second.
A motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Sorry, I don't want to interrupt, but it looks like this was just a, well, no, there was 3 gallons. All right. Aye.
Aye.
Anyone dissenting? All right, hearing no dissent, then this case moves forward to a formal hearing. All right, our next case is case number 96976, Natalie Fox, 11102678. Would like to come forward, or if you're on the phone, press star six so we can hear you. Natalie Fox, case 96976. All right, hearing no response, I move the case number 96976. Move to a formal hearing, or any alternative, we would accept a signed consent agreement previously offered by the board's resolution for the case.
Kusong Glover, second.
Put a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Can you hear me?
Is this Natalie Fox?
Yes, I'm sorry. I keep trying to speak, and I don't think you guys can hear me, but I'm glad you can now.
You are correct.
We can now.
We retract the previous.
Thank goodness.
All right. I move that we would retract my previous motion in order to rescind my previous motion in order to hear the case with Natalie Fox.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
All right, Ms. Fox, we're going to get a chance to hear what you have to say. So we'll start with our investigator. She'll give us some information about this case, and then we'll ask you questions.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the board. My name is Kelly Whitaker. On August 10th, 2021, I conducted an inspection of one Nat Fox studio located at 8889 East Bell Road, Suite 15 in Scottsdale. At the time, she was an unlicensed establishment. On August 2nd of 2021, she had applied for an establishment license, but the application was not completed. On October 10th, 2022 of this year, the respondent reapplied for an establishment license and is currently being processed. On October 14th of this year, I actually was out at the salon suite and witnessed Natalie working on a client.
All right, so what's this?
So the salon has been open for a year and 2 months with no license.
Okay. All right, Ms. Fox, can you give us an idea how this makes sense?
Yes, well, I have, it's completely just my fault. I have my business registration with the state framed as if I thought that was my license, and I feel like an idiot because I just thought I was licensed. And then when I filled out the paperwork, I thought it was just being processed. I had no idea that it was not complete. And I think I was getting emails that were going to my spam saying that it was not complete, but I didn't actually know that my license wasn't being reviewed and processed still. And everyone kept telling me, I was saying, oh, I still haven't gotten my license that I applied for. And everyone said, oh, state board is really backed up. So I was like, okay, I'll just keep waiting. And then I got the in-person mail. And it looked like it had been emailed to me, but it was going to spam. So I just had no idea until I got the mail in person. And then I contacted Rosa and someone named Deborah with the state just because I was unsure what I did wrong. And I've been working with Rosa to try to get it done correctly. I have filled out the proper forms now, and I'm just waiting to hear back. I emailed Rosa last week to see if she could check in on that for me. So I think everything should be good now, but I'm just waiting to hear back.
Okay. What's the status?
Sir.
The application is being processed
right now. I just reapplied on October 10th.
October 10th.
Okay. So I have a question. It shows on our records here that you received 6 letters in the mail monthly beginning in August of 2021. September 29th, 2021, 10/27, 2021, 11/17, 2021, and 12/15, 2021. And then the most recent mailing, not email, so physical mail, was January 26th, 2022. So are you receiving those letters, or how many have you received, and at what point did you take action?
I only received the last couple, and I had, as soon as I received the first one, I contacted Rosa. So I don't know if I wasn't getting the mail from my suite, if it was going into like everyone's mail and it was being emptied out. I have no idea, but I have been getting them directly delivered to me from the mail woman most recently. But as soon as I got one via mail, I contacted Rosa. I've not purposely ignored any. So again, I'm not sure where they are. I'm the only one who operates out of my suite. I get all of the mail if it's brought directly to me. I don't know if it was going into a mailbox somewhere because it's like an office suite where I work. So I honestly have no idea, but as soon as I got one in the mail, I did respond.
Okay. Rosa, how far away is this from being issued?
Mr. Chair, members of the board, if she applied on the 10th, which was a week, basically a week, well, two business weeks ago, she's probably still another 2 to 3 weeks out from it being processed.
Yeah, and I'd like to point out, though, that the very last letter was sent in January of this year. It's now October, so it's been 10 months with no action.
Yeah, and what I was looking at was how far away from issuing, because she's currently operating, and obviously she can't operate, but we're talking about tomorrow.
Ms. Fox, you aren't operating, correct?
She currently is. I was out there.
No, I am operating.
Yeah, I was out there on 10/14 and witnessed her doing it. Client.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, I think our licensing specialist also has some additional information. I'm getting eyeballs from back there.
give me like 3 minutes.
Ms. Fox, the problem we have is that you can't legally operate without a salon license. And you know that. And this has gone on for a very long time. So we're trying to figure out how to deal with the fact that you haven't taken care of this over a really long period.
I completely understand, and I take fault in the fact that I feel honestly really stupid that I thought my registration with the state was what I needed, and I have it framed in my thing like an idiot, and I feel really dumb thinking that that was sufficient until I got the letters that I got, and then I have taken action from that point. Yeah. To get my license, and I don't know if you can see in the system that I filled it out well over a year ago, but it was not completed, which I just didn't know it wasn't completed. I thought I completed it. I don't know if I did something wrong, but I'm not just blatantly ignoring this by any means. I completely understand your guys' concern, and I'm trying to take care of it. I just want to get it taken care of. I've paid to do the application twice now. I just keep paying and doing what I think is right, and I feel stupid, and I know you guys don't care about my personal life, but it's been insane. So I think I just am like thinking I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, and then I'm waiting to get something in the mail and it's not coming. So that's I completely apologize, but that's all I have for you guys.
Okay.
So she had filled it out, it just wasn't completed. So it wasn't completed until the 10th, right?
Oh, she received 6 weeks.
Sure.
Correct.
Ms. Whitaker, when you were out there, did you notice any safety or any other violations other than?
Okay,
I have on my form that the license was the only issue and everything else was perfect on my form.
Okay. Good.
Ms. Fox, when you were informed that you were operating without a license, why did you not cease operating?
I have to make a living. I thought that since it was in the process, I was okay. And I couldn't just cancel my entire schedule and stop operating. And since I thought that it was like pending, I thought I was okay. But well, I completely take fault for this. I know that I'm wrong now, but I just wasn't really sure that's how it worked.
Hang on just a minute. Could you have some information for us?
So I didn't get to hear everything. So I know that we did send her correspondence as well as the application send her the application, send her correspondence August 26, 2021 for her to send the articles of organization, which was never received. So once it's 180 days, that application is completely canceled out.
So where is she right now?
So she just did the application 11 days ago. So we have to now start from that process date.
Yep.
So she does have the
proxy date of 4 to 5.
Okay.
So in that case, so she submitted on the 10th, and we're probably, so that's been 10-ish business days at this point. So we're probably, again, we're probably about three weeks.
Is the application complete right now?
I can look at it.
That's kind of part of that processing, part of it.
And Ms. Fox, are you going to stop operating until you get the license?
Is that what I need to do?
We're trying to find a door for you, but it looks like it.
Okay, well, I guess I'll have to do that then.
Yeah, hang on just a second here. We're going to get some information, I think. Do you believe you filed all the paperwork that's necessary and all the supporting documents?
Yes, I believe so. I mean, I really hope so at this point, yes.
Bear with us a minute, Ms. Fox.
Sure.
Okay.
She is registered with the LLC in Arizona Corporate Commission, and her trade name is registered, so she looks like she's good to go. All the information that's needed is in the application. It's just getting to her processing.
All right. So our dilemma here is that we either put her out of business for a few weeks based on the fact she didn't get her stuff done, or we find a way to get her taken care of so we can keep her moving forward. Do we have a path that we get her through this? This board's not anxious to close a business.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, for what it's worth, I think similar to the Long case we heard a little bit ago, she should have an individual license and could work in another suite for, you know, the you know, probably 14 to 20 business days,
right,
that we have left to be able to issue the license.
If we have a complete application with all the documentation, is there no way to move forward?
Mr. Chair, members of the board, respectfully, moving somebody ahead of the line that's been in violation for a year and a half is a little bit of a headline issue, in my opinion.
Members of the board, I agree with the director. I think that she needs to get into compliance before she operates.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not, and Mr. Chair, members of the board, we're not sitting on anything. It's in process at this point. It appears that we've got what we need, but it does need, I mean, she took a very cursory review of the information that she has at her fingertips. So again, we're not sitting on anything, and I would anticipate that as long as everything is there, we're going to get it done. But I do have a little bit of heartburn about trying to move somebody to the front of the line, particularly at this length of how long it's been out of compliance, or how long the establishment has been operating without a license.
Yeah. All right. Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Of course.
There's nothing I can do at this point to, like, I've done everything I can at this point. I'm fully aware that I am late on that and I have done things wrong. But at this point, I have done everything to my power to make this correct, right? Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure that, because that's what I thought I had been doing and I had been wrong, and there's just been confusion. And again, I don't want to make excuses about my personal life, but it's not normal right now.
Mr. Chairman, so we as the board can't verify that everything with her application is perfect. This was only a cursory review. So, you know, yes, you have submitted your application. This is Brandy Flores. I'm sorry, I didn't introduce myself. I'm the board member here. She just took a cursory review of the materials that you have. But you need to be on the lookout by mail and by email for any follow-up questions or additional requests for information, because we are not able to verify that all of the documentation you submitted is correct and ready for licensing.
I will be on the lookout.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we are.
And I have been. I've been emailing Rosa just to check in every few days. I know you guys are very busy,
great,
but I'm already on the lookout. I've completely learned my lesson on, like, just assuming everything's okay because I don't know any better. Now I'm definitely staying on it and trying to do it correctly. I have no intention of to have my, like,
okay,
that would have been so easy, right? I just
was
negligent because I didn't understand, which is, again, not an excuse, but now I realize that.
All right, so we don't have a way to keep you open at this stage until this process, which we think is about 3 weeks. So for one thing, you can't operate in your salon because you don't have a license. But you can work somewhere else because you have a personal license. So I don't know if that helps you or not. But
work in the suite next to me is what you're saying?
As long as it's a license.
As long as it's a licensed facility, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I guess I'll just ask some of the girls if I can borrow their suite. I mean, it seems a little silly, but I know that I need to be punished for not following the rules, so.
Yeah, we're not trying to punish you. We're just trying to get you into compliance.
Yeah, and it's not
at this point.
I don't think it's a punishment. It's not something that we're imposing upon you as a disciplinary measure. It's state law.
I understand that. I just, it's, at this point, it's just a matter of me moving into different walls, even though my salon is, you know, perfectly clean and everything. And I just, again, I understand it's the rule, but.
All right. It's actually laws and you have to operate within them just like we do. All right. So we're going to finish this case. Can we get a motion on this?
I'm ready to
We need an adoption first.
I move to adopt findings of fact and conclusions of law. This is Chase Tarantine.
Second.
Good.
Motion is second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. So we agree this happened. How about an order of discipline?
I move that we impose a disciplinary letter of concern. I think that's it. The licensee needs to be licensed, and it sounds like that's in process. I'm not sure if there's any other imposition for me to make.
Ms. Baskin, do you have thoughts?
You could offer, as you did in last week,
consent order.
A consent agreement, right?
Consent agreement.
Consent for, but the inspection didn't have any sanitation violations, so we're just waiting for the license to run.
It would be you can't operate until it's an indefinite. Suspension? All right. Indefinite suspension until...
Well, she doesn't have a license.
Well, she doesn't have a license.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
So you could do a...
My license is in process of being processed. Am I right?
Hang on. Let us finish.
You could offer her a consent agreement for a probationary term, and one of those terms is that she cannot... conduct business in an unlicensed establishment until she receives her license.
But isn't that just the law?
Well, it is, but she's not, hasn't been following it. So, and that she would have to comply with the Arizona state statutes and rules. Which are
what is the probationary, what is the impact on her like record for probationary?
Well, a disciplinary letter of concern is discipline that is going to prior history. Mm-hmm. A consent agreement is also the same. If you impose the board parameters of the civil penalty, that's also a disciplinary history.
Yes. I guess I just don't understand what the consent agreement, what the necessity is, because we're not necessarily looking for a reinspection. We just want them to get their license. And the disciplinary letter of concern states that, I'm
different than the last one because the last one hadn't even started the process.
Right.
And also was quick, a danger to.
So we have a motion for a for a disciplinary letter of concern. Do we have a second?
Second.
Yeah. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
So we're just doing the disciplinary letter of concern. So Ms. Fox?
Yes.
Are you there? All right. We're giving you a disciplinary letter of concern. We are not going to fine you. So, but from here on out, make us important enough that you get this done, will you?
Yes, of course.
No, not of course. Yes is adequate.
Yes, sir.
Right. Good luck in your business, and I don't want to see you back here anymore.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate you guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, before moving on with business, we I would like the record to reflect that member Guzman Glover has left the meeting. And I would also like to confirm that member Marshall is
on
the phone to ensure that we have quorum.
Yes, I'm still here.
Thank you, Marshall. We needed you to make sure we had our quorum. So you may proceed with number eight.
All right, I'll call a break. I find it. All right, so our next case is number 96979. License 5050147. Is Linda Lee available? If you're on the phone, *6.
Give it like 30 seconds.
Okay, they pop up.
Yeah.
Ms. Lee, are you available? All right.
Just
was one of our, Mr. Chair, members of the board, this was one of our unresolved cases. We didn't know one way or the other.
All right, hearing no response, I move the case number 96979, move to a formal hearing, or in the alternative, we would accept the signed consent agreement previously offered by the board as resolution for the case.
Second.
Motion is second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
When, since we have virtual, since we're virtual, if we can make sure we're saying our name during motions.
No worries. Sorry.
No worries. Just a reminder.
Oh, maybe, when we say nay, we should clarify that, say, I mean, when we say, those opposed, we should clarify that you should say nay. That way it doesn't get confused because he, a little 30-second delay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, our next case is case number 97277. Joanna Segzepnirsky, license number 11700293, case number 97277, Ms. Segzepnirsky?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, thank you very much for attending. As we get started, do you swear the testimony you give today will be truthful?
I do.
And then state your name.
Joanna Shapansky.
Okay. All right, thank you very much. So I'm going to have our investigator review the case and then come back and ask you for questions, okay?
Okay.
And members of the board, my name is Kelly Whitaker. On October 5th of 2021, I conducted an inspection of Colano 5, located at 10401 North Scottsdale Road, Suite 100. As a result, Colano was unlicensed. On October 5th, 2021, the respondent applied for an establishment license. The respondent's application at the time was incomplete and no license had been issued. October 15th of 2022, the respondent made a payment for establishment license, but as of current has not signed or filed any paperwork.
Okay. Is there any other information you want to provide us? Is that it?
No, that's
okay.
It's unlicensed and has been here.
Okay. So, Ms. Sepkirsky, can you explain this to us? What's going on?
Yes. So, on October 5th, that was my first time being in a salon suite. I thought I had all the licensing that I needed. And it was, of course, my first state board inspection being out on my own. And I looked on the website of the cosmetology to get the establishment license, thought I did it, didn't. Then I went down to the city of Scottsdale where I got my business license, somehow thinking that my establishment license would be there because that's what I was told by another salon person. They said that it's all in this one license, which was the business license. So the whole time I thought I had it. And then I just got a new name, new building. So I went down to get my name changed. And with that being said, last week I got a call from Rosa and she left me a voicemail. It's the first call I've gotten. And she said I got a complaint, so I immediately called her back to find out what this was about. And she said that it's from the October 5th inspection, and that's when I had gone on to see if I can redo it on the state board, knowing that it was through Arizona State Board of Cosmetology. So that also, I did see at the bottom of when I read through it all through the email she sent me, the monthly status reports, in which I obviously you guys sent them to my salon and to my address, which my address of my salon, I was no longer there. and my address of where I live, I no longer am at. So I haven't been getting any mail, just the phone call of her last week. And if she wouldn't have called me, I would have not been on this call today because I had no idea this was even still going on.
Have you filed your paperwork at this point to get your license straightened out?
Yes, I did. And I was going to ask if she could repeat the last end of that because I have the confirmation number. I just want to make sure that I'm doing the right license. I paid and all of that. I just want to make sure it's all squared away because I don't want to have a penalty against me or my salon.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I have a question of licensee. Did you say that you changed the name of your salon so it would be a different establishment that the license would have been applied for under? Did I make
yes,
that up?
I did.
Okay.
Yes, it's a different structure.
So, Mr. Bagley, she has paid. She just has not completed her paperwork.
This on the new salon name?
The new salon, yes. So on the 15th of this month, this year, she made a payment but has not.
Okay. Did you understand that? You've made your payment, but apparently your paperwork isn't complete.
Okay. And I know I have it in my email. It says you're done signing salon application and it has a check mark. So what do I need to do to finish it?
Mr. Chairman, member support, that step payment is step one. So now she will be receiving, if she hasn't already, an email with a link to complete her application.
All right, apparently we're gonna send you a link that's gonna help you with the balance of this information.
Okay.
Ms. Shrapinski, it says on here that we've emailed you 1, 2, 3, 4 times. Did you receive all those emails?
Yes, and they were from Rosa, and they all went into my spam mail. I haven't had any concern that any of this was even going on.
Have you checked your spam mail? Have you checked your spam mail to see if you got the second step that you need to, with the link you need to click to finish your application?
I did, and I just, currently, even as of now, the last thing I got was October 15th, Adobe Sign, and it says open agreement, and it has all of my information of me filling the paperwork out, and I signed it. I just am not understanding why it wouldn't have been processed.
Well, that's when the process
starts. So the process begins when you make the payment, and then when you make the payment within, I don't know how long, a week or two, I imagine, an email is sent to you where you submit the documentation and information that is needed to actually create an establishment license. It's not just a sort of credit card charge, right? If you also have to submit materials. And so the payment is beginning the process of an establishment license. If that makes sense.
Right. And I did. So it says salon application, and I've entered my EIN number, my tax identification number. I've entered all of that in, and it's a lengthy paperwork thing, so I entered it all. Is that, am I not doing anything?
So what we'll do is we'll have somebody on the staff work with you on this. This is Chase Turrentine. We aren't, as board members, we aren't the ones to walk you through that process. We're okay. Just here to kind of resolve this part. So you'd obviously reach out to us and or our staff, and we can walk you through that process. But
okay,
for right now.
Yeah. Can we give her guidance to who to reach out to?
Is that Rosa?
Alicia. Gosh, how's the best way to do this at this point, you think? Like, you should,
can someone reach
somebody,
out?
Yeah,
does she have an authorization number for the payment?
We're not trying to do that at this point. Let's, do we have her contact information there?
Yeah, I don't even have her.
We don't even have,
that's awesome. We
have her contact information though for this. Okay. We will have somebody reach out to her next week. And if she does not hear from anybody next week, she can contact me directly.
Okay, did you understand that? Joanna?
Yes.
All right, so we're going to contact you to try and clean this up. If you don't hear anything, then call Mr. McGowski.
So,
okay.
At this point, though, you don't have an establishment license. We do have a personal license, though?
Yes.
So I don't, if you've been listening to some of the previous cases, if you don't have an establishment license, you can't be working or in that establishment. With your personal license, you still have the ability to work with somebody with a valid establishment license. So in the interim, until the establishment license is created and up to, you know, where it needs to be, we have to have you suspend activity under that establishment license. That said, I make a motion to accept findings of fact and conclusions of law.
Second. Ledoux.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
There it is. And I'm Chase Turntine again. Make a motion for a disciplinary letter of concern.
Second. Ledoux.
Okay, a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay, any opposed?
All right. So, actually, Mr. Chairman, if you want to walk through that process, and I'll...
Okay, so Joanna, do you understand, we're issuing you a disciplinary letter of concern. You'll get that in the mail. We need to get this cleaned up. We're going to come back out and check to make sure that you got it in about a month. So don't be operating.
Okay. Can I give you guys the correct address? Because I need to be informed if I'm getting this stuff. So how can I get the right address?
We will be contacting you directly. We will call you next week, and we'll get all of that information squared away.
Since this is a public phone call, that's don't want you disclosing personal information.
Yeah, you'd be telling anybody who happens to be listening. It could be hundreds.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so we'll call you. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a nice weekend.
You too, bye.
Okay, we'll call our next case, case number 97223 and 97634. Picture Rocks Hair Care, SCOS 3886. Janet K. Myers, license number 183-27304. Hello. Swear to tell you if they be truthful. Yes. State your name.
Janet Myers.
Have a seat, please. It's nice to see a living person. Mm-hmm. All right, the way this will work is we'll get information from our investigator and then ask you questions.
Okay.
All right. So.
All right. So good afternoon, board chair, members of the board. My name is Helen Bordelon. So just a little backstory of this case to kind of help understand. Case number 97223 was a follow-up inspection for a case 96835 that was dismissed in December. Okay, so this case 97223 was a follow-up for that dismissed case. It was a risk-based inspection, this one. But the other case was dismissed, so here we are. We're going through the motions. So on December 9th, I did an inspection, a risk-based inspection of Picture Rock Hair Care, located at 11850 West Picture Rock in Tucson, Arizona. It resulted in an unsatisfactory grade because the wet disinfectant was not large enough for complete tool immersion. It also was dirty, cloudy with debris. Unclean workstations with hair clippings and dust. Uncovered scissors, razors, and clippers. There was Q-tips, clipper bars with hair in them. And there was an animal in the establishment. There was a cat. Per ARS 11-1024, service animals are not included. They are not included as sport animals. So which brings us to our next case. On 97634, we received an online complaint for Picture Rock Hair Care, again located at 11850 West Picture Rock. We received a complaint on February 1st. The complainant alleged that she went into the salon and received a haircut and alleged that the salon was filthy, that there was cats running loose, and there was hair everywhere. So on May 5th of 2022, I tried to contact the complainant via email. We did not have a phone number. I was unsuccessful, so I was not able to have any correspondence with the complainant. On May 27th, I did visit Picture Rock Hair Care, and at that time, I spoke with Julie Williams, which is the manager of the salon and also her daughter. Ms. Myers was with the client at the time. Julie, the manager, explained to me that she's the one that does all of the cleaning, and she does not remember servicing the said client on the day that she was in there. Julie states that she was the only one working on those days that the complaint would have come in. She did say that she was going to look back through her records and see if she could find, you know, the woman, the complaint information. I did advise at that time I would have to do a salon inspection, and I did find unclean work areas, again, scissors, razors, combs, hair clippings. Wet disinfectant was also cloudy with contamination. Uncovered and unenclosed scissors, trimmers, and guards. There was cat paraphernalia throughout the salon. You can see in the photos, there was toys, food, and a cat bed. And I did leave a copy of the complaint with Ms. Julie requesting reply in 10 days. We did not receive that. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to answer. I know that was a lot.
Okay. Would you like to tell us what's going on?
Yeah, from what I understand, the first complaint that she took all the pictures at was about the cat and about the shop. And everything was cleaned up. And then I got the certification for the cat, and it was dismissed. And my understanding is that then somebody texted in or complained about the shop, and that's why I'm here. I don't know about all that other she's talking about. And I don't have the complaint in my hand. She handed it to my daughter, and I was working, and I don't know where it's at.
Okay. So she reviewed.
But I do have pictures of the shop. Excuse me.
Right. She reviewed your shop at the time and found those things, the sanitation issues. Are you stating you don't think those were there?
No, I don't think they were, because once she did the main inspection and then sent all those pictures through, the first time, everything was cleaned up, and we took all the blades that I, 30 years, had hanging on the wall from the blade holder. She didn't like that, so they were all put in the drawer, clean drawer. And then they complained about the oil there on the counter, because that's where you clean the clipper blades as you're working, and some complained about it being cloudy looking, and yeah, it had hair in it because it was used constantly all day. All the second and third, I really thought it was all under the first.
Yeah, how often do you change your barber set?
Once a week.
Once a week?
So the pictures are from this last inspection. So we have pictures from the first inspection, and we have pictures from the second inspection. So I'm not sure if licensee hasn't seen those, and maybe we should share them with her for 97634.
Yeah, because most of the issues that were present in the first investigation seem to still be present in the second investigation, including.
No, that's not true. They weren't. And I don't know how your pictures are dated or, but we did everything the first time around. In December, when I did a phone interview. So I don't know. Oh. I do have pictures of the shop.
Is the animal still in the shop?
Yeah, and I have a certificate for it, and it's because we have pack rats at night that come into this shop in a very rural area, and they chew through all the wires, and I was given an okay for that. And then this last complaint, I guess from whoever, the alleged person, whoever this Linda Gardner is, who I don't know, supposedly said there was kitty litter in the middle of the shop. I mean, that's never happened. Everything's in the back room.
Could you share the photo, please?
Please do.
Is there any record of what she's saying about the licensing of the animal?
We do not have any information of that. However, according to the ARS 11-1024, I don't believe that we can use it.
Who certified the cat? Tell me about that a little bit. Who is that?
But Mr. Chairman, I don't
think registration animal.
Mm-hmm. We're able to ask for details about.
And this was done, all this was done in the first inspection. This isn't even there anymore.
So if I get this correctly, there's no legal way for her to have an animal in the shop, correct?
Mr. Chair, member Ledoux, pursuant to the administrative code, the rules, only service animals are permitted in an establishment. The ADA definition is a service animal means any animal that is individually trained to do work or perform tasks for the benefit of an individual with a disability, including a physical, sensory, psychiatric, intellectual, or other mental disability.
Is service animal defined? Because my assumption was when the inspector was speaking that emotional support animals are not included in this definition.
Correct.
But
if I remember right, she said it's a service animal, not an emotional support animal for the purposes. So I believe what I have to ask is the animal trained to do a task? The task.
Well, yeah, catches cat grass at night. Is what it does at night.
Yeah. So who is this certification from?
We're not allowed to ask specifically about service animals, my understanding, like about the details.
I actually thought the rule was you were allowed to say, is the animal trained to perform that task?
Right.
So it has to, or perform a task.
Is it a service animal?
We're taking the words that we're asking instead of an agency.
Is it a service
animal?
Okay.
Mr. McGalley, Mr. Chair. Again, so I'm just going to read again so that we're clear. The ADA defines service animal to mean any animal that is individually trained to do work or perform tasks for the benefit of an individual with a disability, including a physical, sensory, psychiatric, intellectual, or other mental disability.
Thank you. I have a question for Mona, though. It is not our discretion to determine if an animal meets that definition. Is that correct?
Under your rule, only service animals are permitted to be in a service animals are permitted to be in an establishment. And you would look to the ADA, and you would also look to ARS 11-1024 for your definition of what a service animal is.
My concern is that when we've questioned her, she has not stated it was a service animal. She said that it was used for pest control.
Correct.
And she also stated that it's in service of the business. Is this your service animal for your disability?
No, it catches rats and mice at night. It's a service animal.
And may I read the definition under the Arizona Revised Statute? A service animal means any dog or miniature horse that is individually trained or in training to do work or perform tasks for the benefit of an individual with a disability, including a physical, sensory, psychiatric, intellectual, or other mental disability. Service animals does not include other species of animals, whether wild or domestic or trained or untrained.
So felines used for pest control would not meet that definition?
That would be the board's decision.
But the statute says canine or miniature horse.
So we determine, my understanding was is that a service animal, no matter what the definition was, determined by some other entity, like a state agency or federal or something, but we have discretion to determine if something meets the definition of service animal.
So, and I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, Member Flores, I do think, so I think there's some history there, and I understand that there's some prior history with this board there. My understanding, and I wasn't able to look, and I'm not sure if you were, Ms. Baskin, I think there was some legislative change to all of this in 2020 or 2021. And so I think that might be why there's some, there might be some confusion about, but I think we're simply, from a staffing standpoint, trying to share with you the definition of service animal. And I think Mr. Member Ledoux was trying to say some stuff, and sure. There are a couple of conversations going on. So
my final question, there's no state agency that says this is a service animal. If you have a service animal paperwork.
Yeah, she says she has that.
I'm reading it from you, from Arizona Revised Statute, and also from.
Sure. Yeah. No, I understand that. I understand what you're reading, but I guess my question is that is there a determining agency that gives paperwork or something that says you have a service animal or you don't have a service? Because so there is no agency. Or there is no federal or state agency that does that. Okay.
There may be, but from my research, right. And from the information
so
have.
So if those mice cause her emotional distress and the cat helps get rid of it so it lowers her stress.
I believe that's not the facts here, and I believe that was specifically excluded
for our depression.
It says the crime deterrent effects of an animal's presence and the provision of emotional support, well-being, comfort, or companionship do not constitute work or task for a service animal, and that's pursuant to the statute for ADA and service animals in the state of Arizona.
No, I appreciate the definition. That makes sense. I understand. I didn't know if we can interpret is my question.
So based on those definitions, I don't believe your animal falls into the definitions of a service animal under state law.
So they'd rather have rat poison and rat traps and things like that.
Well, they're not going to make that decision.
I
think there are other ways to look at it. I mean, I can understand it. The mice would cause you emotional distress and that having a cat there.
Well, that's when they choose everything you want.
Yeah, so I guess there are other ways of looking at things.
There is a U.S. Service Animal Registrar.
All right, so where do we go?
So, back to the sanitation part. Can you provide any more context? You know, we see from the pictures that some things haven't changed. Can you clarify?
But they
that
have changed. I don't understand.
Well, I'm asking the inspector who.
Pretty much everything was more or less the same. There was still the wet disinfectant was dirty and cloudy. Clearly once a week probably isn't enough for the amount of clients that they're doing. Workstations, there were hair clippings left, scissors out, the clippers and the clipper bars were still out with hair in them. You can see by the photos that I took that there really wasn't a whole lot of things changed. I didn't see the litter box this last time, but there was paraphernalia of, like I said, cat food, there was a cat bed. When I had gone in there, the back door was open, so it looked maybe the cat ran out, but there was clearly.
Was the cat paraphernalia where, not in the back a room, or was it out where?
So when you walk in, there's like a TV type thing and a chair. There's like a little basket full of some cat toys. And then in the back room, that's where the cat,
on the barber side, I just like to mention a similar facility, and we change it daily. That eliminates that problem and make sure that your dish is big enough, everything can go inside. That will solve that.
And did we find out what the gray substance was that was out on the counter?
I believe that was the oil that she was referencing to.
There it is.
For me,
it's actually in a bowl.
All
agreement that was initially offered. I'm going to re-pull up that file.
250.
That's our minimum, by the way, just so you're aware. All right, so I don't know that what to do about the cat situation. I mean, I do see it differently than Member Ledoux. That's just my opinion, his opinion. I don't know if we can have a majority vote and come up with an idea about cats or not, or if we should.
Well, my recommendation would be first adoption of find or not findings of facts, conclusion of law, and then determine what your.
So before we do that, Ms. Baskin, let me ask you, since some, are we accepting the accusations when we accept the findings of fact? Because those are unsubstantiated. We can accept what was witnessed by our investigator, but when there was a complaint and they made accusations, we were never able to verify any of those except what we saw when we went there. So is there a point of distinction there?
I mean, as far as the original complaint, it's part of the procedural history. We received a complaint, and that's what prompted the investigation. So as far as, but is that actually a violation? I believe the violation would be the sanitation violation that are depicted in the photograph.
I just want to make sure if I say accept findings of fact, I'm not accepting necessarily that the complainant was correct.
Or that there was gray stuff.
Yeah,
that was all just accusations. Or, I mean, yes, I mean.
I can accept that those complaints were made. But.
Correct, that a complaint was received regarding sanitation violations within the salon. And that prompted an inspection.
Okay.
I think that happens in every case. But yes, you're determining the facts. So that's a good question. Thank you.
Then I move to accept findings of facts and conclusions of law.
I'll second that.
The motion is second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? All right. So we agree that this happened, and now what? Shall we deal with cat and sanitation? I want to deal with those two separate issues.
Well,
if we do a consent order, we got to work both of those in, but we want to discuss.
Can I ask the inspector, do you believe, based on what you saw, that the animal contributed to sanitary issues at the establishment?
Well, as far as I didn't find cat hair or that type of thing around, other than the toys and then some food laying around. And the time before last, the cat, bed and scratching post, but I don't know that it would be a sanitary issue. I don't think that contributed to any of the hair clippings laying around. I don't think that contributed to the contaminated what gets infected. I don't think that cat had anything to do with.
And was the cat in the same area as the where people would get their hair clipped?
Candy. Mm-hmm.
My understanding was no cat, and your inspection was seen in the salon, and also
not the second time. Correct.
I saw a picture of the cat though in the picture.
That was a case previous.
Okay.
Yes, that was the follow up.
And also, yeah, I don't. I guess I. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mona, but we just have these facts to go off of, not interpretations of facts or perceptions of facts.
Well, I think you can also consider the licensee statement that why the cat is in the salon and that the cat is present as part of the evidence that you're considering, in addition to what's in the report.
All right, so. Here we are.
I still feel very squeamish about the differentiation between service animal and non-service animal. Just from a federal law perspective, I feel like there's not enough clarity there on what we can and cannot ask and say and interpret. And if state law dictates or if it's federal law. And so I don't feel comfortable moving forward on that aspect, but I do believe that the consent agreement that was offered in the amount of $250 is valid for, or is legitimate or reasonable civil penalties for the sanitation violations that we have evidence of.
The non-cat related sanitation.
The non-cat related sanitation violations.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, you just adopted a conclusions of law, ARS R410-112, T2, which specifically states that an establishment shall ensure compliance with the following general requirements, and only fish in aquariums and service animals are allowed in the establishment.
That one isn't listed on my inspection report as a conclusion of law. I have ARS 32572A6, just general violation of statute or rule, as well as ARS 32541EBAAC R410112.
The right. 97223 has it as a conclusion of law, I'm saying.
Where's that? Where do we get that information? Because I guess I've been adopting them without.
Down here at the bottom. So I was looking here initially, but. It would have been, where was it?
That's the previous one?
Yeah, 97223 is the updated one, right?
No.
That's the.
I thought it was 97634.
Yeah, and it's under alleged, yes, under 97634, under alleged violation.
Ah, there we go.
It's right there. T2 for R410-112.
So infection control safety standards.
Correct.
Violation.
Correct.
Okay.
And that is that only fish in aquariums and service animals are permitted to be in an establishment.
I mean, we can accept that that's the case, that only service animals, without addressing the issue of whether or not we are making the determination of a valid service animal, though.
Yeah.
She has certification of some sort. I don't think we have the authority to overrule that.
I think the only thing I would add to that, though, is that we have provided definitions that say that cats are not included in the definition of a service animal. I'm not the decision maker here. Yeah. I'm just throwing it out there that we have a statutory definition that excludes
a cat provided service.
Correct. But a service for a disability, not for rodent control.
I
think I would be emotionally distressed if I had mice.
And emotional support animals don't fall within the definition of a service animal for purposes of the ADA or Arizona state law.
Yeah, I think a lot of people lump service animal and emotional support animal together as, you know, interchangeable, and those are different.
And there is alternatives to pest control other than owning a cat.
I guess, you know, okay. Sorry.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Burt, too, like, one of the things that just cut across my mind is I'm sure that this establishment is not the only one that could potentially have that problem. And I do know there are professional services that restaurants utilize to keep rodents under control. So just throwing that perspective in there too.
All right, so we can't deal with the sanitation without dealing with the cat.
Well, we adopted it as a findings of fact and conclusion of law, and now we can impose discipline according to our parameters. And so I think the $250 consent agreement stands is in my perception what I would like to suggest as a motion. So I would move that based on the findings of fact and conclusions of law, we take the disciplinary action that was outlined in the initial consent agreement of $250 civil penalty, as well as a follow-up and a probationary period of 90 days with a follow-up inspection to occur unannounced at some point during that 3 month period. And if unsatisfactory, I guess, is it an escalation? What's the next step?
Right, up again, bring it up again.
Is that to an informal hearing, or does that move it to a?
Then it would be brought back to the board.
For a formal or informal?
Well, just as, informal, as supplemental information, no, it wouldn't be back for.
Oh, okay, just, right.
And then if this consent agreement is not signed, then it would be moving to.
Okay, and if that, and if licensee does not consent to this consent agreement, then we would, move to a formal hearing. Is my motion.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay, so obviously this is a complicated case in some ways. We think that those sanitation violations were present. We're split on the idea of whether that counts as a service animal or not. But we're offering you a $250 consent agreement to settle this out, and I recommend you find a way to deal with your cat that doesn't create the controversy.
Okay. And so, yeah, it would be a follow-up inspection?
Yeah.
A follow-up inspection to ensure that, only service animals are present and, that the sanitation violations are no longer present.
Yeah, the sanitation violation is pretty straightforward. The cat thing is difficult, but we still need to deal with it, so.
Okay.
So that's the end of that case. I am curious about that issue, but I guess I can't ask.
About what?
The cat, who issued the cat situation, but I can't ask you that.
Contact your state legislator. That's what I'm gonna go with.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Contact your state legislator.
It's vague.
Because right now, it's only dogs and small horses.
Right. So anyway, so we'll get you a letter in the mail that outlines where we are. It's a consent agreement, so you need to sign it and send in a payment, or decide you're not going to, and end up back on here talking to us about this again. Okay. All right? Thank you very much.
I'm going to belabor the point during the proceedings.
Yep.
I guess it would be helpful in the future at some point. I guess I don't know the interplay between federal and state law when it comes to those sorts of things.
Yep.
I understand what the Arizona definition is, but federally, is that also the definition?
Yeah.
And how and who determines it?
Yeah, I actually, so I, just for clarification, we can actually put this, this is kind of our notes, to be prepared to answer your questions. But the I was giving you the federal laws definition.
Oh, I thought you were giving me ARS, not federal.
So I gave you the emotional support animal, sorry. Not to argue with you, Brandy, I apologize. Yeah. I gave you the emotional support animal, right, piece of ADA, and then, which is in federal law,
right.
And then to support that, Arizona has statute that to further define service animal because the federal law doesn't.
I thought ADA is both state and federal ADA.
There's a state version of the ADA.
So I just assume we're all states, what we're hearing.
Right. And then there is a federal ADA handbook that I believe that this board in probably maybe in the past 2 years was provided with that because this issue did come up before. Not with this particular fact pattern, but the situation did come up before.
Okay. And so it is up, so one more point, it is up to us in future cases to determine if we believe that an animal meets the definition of service animal under the law.
Which would mean in this case, we would have had to have said, we believe that that is a dog or a small horse.
Right, right.
We couldn't say that
yeah.
cat, it right. falls in that definition. We would have had to, right?
Yeah, right.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we had no good faithful basis to believe that what was described as a cat by everybody else met the definition of dog or small or canine or small horse.
I think that's fair. I was concerned about our ability to
yeah.
make that determination. Like
because yeah, we have some determinative ability, but not. We aren't legislature. We can't write
right.
that cat
right.
into
and
there.
And my purpose is just make sure you're understanding that, and I could have clarified, this is federal, that ADA that I was referencing was that federal definition of, and then the state statute supports that with the dog and in a very few cases, miniature horses.
Right.
which, and I'm glad my daughter doesn't know that because she would love to have a service animal of a miniature horse. So, Mr. Chair, members of the board, so we do have a handful more cases, yeah. And we are likely to lose quorum with Marshall in another, probably I'd say 10 to 15 minutes.
All right, let's pound it.
So maybe we can try to get another case or two done before we continue cases. And
do it.
Go.
Our next case is,
yeah,
our we case have, number 97.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. Rosa, which case? We have somebody present in the room that we thought we should take.
Number 14, Sharon, and then number 15.
14 and 15?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to make that. Okay, we'll move to case number 14, which is our case number 97589, Sharon, SMT 18358. 2 Tin Bao Nguyen, 315-00955. Is someone here from Care Hand? No? Yeah. And before you sit, do you swear your testimony to be true today?
Yes.
Yeah. State your name.
That is fine. That's my wife.
Oh, this is your wife?
Yeah.
Okay. So are you involved in the business also?
Yeah, we both.
Okay.
Do we have an LLC attestation or something?
Is this 97589? I apologize.
No. 97589.
Yeah. There, I am not showing it as an LLC, so we wouldn't have an attestation. But he's Ms. not Baskin, what are we, if it's not the,
he's not on the paper.
Is your wife here?
She's not the owner or manager, are we able to?
Right, would we need a licensee representative?
Yeah, we would need a licensee here.
Okay, we appreciate you coming down today and spending so much time, but she's the licensee. She's the one that was noticed, so we need to have her come in.
Yeah.
So I'll continue the case till next month. So can you come back next month and she come back next month?
Oh, we can come find an envoy, you know.
I know, well, but I agree. Your wife has to be here for it because yeah. She was the one who was noticed.
We
do you have a license?
Yeah, I have a license.
Okay.
You mean a
license? Yeah, a nail license.
But that
he yeah, you still weren't license. So you were noticed with his license.
He's not listed as owner of
the company. Oh, he's not listed as
an owner. And it would only be if it was an LLC, he could appear. If it was a manager, yeah. But it's not an LLC, correct. So.
So if you're not the license holder in question, I don't, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I don't think we can get you around this.
We can't hear it, sir, because you're not listed as an owner.
Are you an owner of the?
Yeah, owner.
You're an owner. You're both owners.
Owner.
Are you listed on the paperwork as an owner?
Yeah.
Okay.
But somehow it just put her name in there, but we both, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I'm just wondering if we can get around it legally.
But he does not show as an owner on the license, so I don't. And he wasn't noticed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
if you're. This is your personal license, but you're not listed as an owner.
Yeah, we're stuck on legal technicality. I mean, the notice went out
the 21st.
Your wife in her license. We don't seem to be able to link you two together, so we're going to have her come back next month.
Or call in.
Yeah, or call in. You can just call.
Yeah.
Next time? You mean next time?
Next month.
Just go online?
Next month, just go online, call us, and we'll do it that way.
Oh.
Yeah, it saves your time.
Will he receive information in the mail at the next meeting date, or?
Yeah, we'll continue this.
Well, it'll get continued, so they'll get re-noticed.
Okay. Do we need to do a continuation by motion, or?
Can yes,
we
just, please.
All right, so I make a motion. We continue case 97589 until next month to give the respondent time to respond.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Marshall?
Well, we have a majority anyway, right?
Four.
Marshall, are you there?
actually now,
it's going to automatically go, right?
So now everything that we haven't heard will be automatically continued to next month.
All right. So it'll be continued next month. You'll get another notice. So, yeah, they'll send you another paper.
I'm going to get that mail.
Yeah, but the next time, just call in and we'll do it.
All right.
All right, thank you. For individuals who have joined us by phone, we apologize. We have lost our quorum of board members, and we are no longer able to conduct business this morning, or actually now it's afternoon. Therefore, if you are waiting to have a case heard before this board, you will receive new notices to appear next month at the November meeting, which is currently scheduled for November 18th. So we are no longer, again, we are no longer able to conduct any further board business at this time.
Well,
so thank you everyone and have a great weekend.
We need to
adjourn.
But we can't.
I know.
We can't even move to adjourn. So yeah.
We just are perpetually meeting in some
way. We are
still in meeting. Sorry for causing service animal trouble. I'm
no,
terrified of service animal question.
I'm with you. I understand.
What day? And